this guy is, he's something else. And he's not only a far-left radical political leader of a far-left Caesarea coalition, but he was born in Turkey, and his parents are from Turkey. And when Turkey agreed to let us go through there and supply weapons, they did that today. This Syriza coalition has an affiliation with Turkey. This guy, I just learned today, was born in Syria. He was almost over in Greece, but they made an exchange of people between Turks did, but with the Greeks, and they moved him over to the Greek side, and they took a bunch of people from the Turkish side, which were real Turks, which was the northern part, moved them across the Straits of Isthmus. This guy is worth watching. I'm not going to say anything about him except what I'm going to talk about here. Now, when I was going through the seminary went through phases of teachings that they got all excited about. And one of them was the spiritual world, and it had to do with demons and fallen angels, things of that nature. So they were all into that, and we got a pretty full dose of it. Some of it I believed. Other parts I didn't, but that doesn't mean they were wrong. It just means I didn't agree with them. But this guy is a leader of a radical far-left Syriza coalition. And so he's really a Turk. Now, I have taught for 40 years that Turkey would be one of the 10 nations. And I'm still just as certain of it. And I'm really waiting to see what kind of weapons Obama's decided to give them. He may give them Easter baskets to pass out to the people that need to defend themselves, the Iraqis. I don't know. But whatever it is, I just don't trust him in anything he does. And so, now, I do believe what they taught in the seminary about this. So I'm going to repeat it to you again. Tsipras isn't the Antichrist or false prophet. There are some guys coming on the internet saying he is. He is not. Now, there is a demonic prince of Grecia, and he is a prince of Grecia. And he's real, but he's a fallen angel. And he could spiritually use him to turn the EU, European Union, United Nations, and the Pope against Israel. Now, there's a certain series of things that once they shot that pilot down, I know what's going to happen. You say, well, you could be wrong. I know I could be wrong. But listen, this thing's coming down just exactly like it's supposed to. If you've been reading my emails for a long time, about last year, about July, I began to warn people, we're going back to the Cold War. But something has to happen before it, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to happen. But I told them even then that the Antichrist was going to rise in Greater Syria, and I didn't tell it so people would change their minds back to what I had taught them. No, I didn't do that, because I've got the answer to the Lord, and I'm pretty sure about what I'm telling you right now. Well, I haven't changed my mind about that. And right after I put that thing out, the bunch of what do they call them? Lord have mercy. They're TU somethings, huge Soviet surveillance plans. They're the type of our B-52. And we ran those big old B-52s. I don't know how many I cleared of them to go around the Soviet Union, pull out the forecast and everything else. I could tell you war stories about that until the cows come home. I don't want to tell you war stories, but I want you to know that this big old bomber they got, is it the B-2? No, that's our new bomber, the B-2. And I kept trying to think of it, but I can't. But you'll see it on the news. It might have been 2 years, 4 years ago. My memory, I'm getting old. I can't retain things. They started showing up over the Black Sea, and they started showing up off the coast of England over the sea to the east of it. To the east of it, between there and Switzerland. Between there and Sweden. Then they started off first off the coast of Sweden. And see, we used to monitor that area. We used to run them out of there. We wouldn't let them go over there. So I got to looking at what was happening, what Putin was doing. I know exactly what he's doing, and I know exactly why he's doing it, because he's tried to do it before, and I was involved in the analyzation of the material that was gotten together, and we were right. And he's trying to get back. He's trying to get across down there where he won't have to, go through the sea and come into Crimea. There's a road that goes down through there, and that's the area they're trying to clear out. I don't think he's going to stop till he gets it cleared out. And I don't think Obama's going to do anything about it. And I don't think anybody's going to be able to influence him, anybody to do it. And Europe's not going to do it on their own, neither is the United Nations. Now, why do I believe the Antichrist is going to appear after Obama leaves office? Well, I told people that they were going to do it. I said possibly within 4 or 5 years after Obama leaves office, maybe 2 years. And then Leonard brought this article in here about this Jewish lady, and I looked at that thing and I said, that's going to take time, and I think she's right. And so I said, now I've got the Cold War. See, I've been trying to put all this together and come up with what's a general time I can tell them and know that it's general, but it's going to be close to correct. So I began to tell them that it might go through the next administration before Israel was attacked. And people have been calling and asking, why do you say that? And I told them, I'm telling them why. And in my next email, I'm going to tell them why. And I'm going to tell them, I'm going to go back and get those articles I wrote before. I'm going to tell them about what Leonard gave me. And that is why I think that this time lapse is going to occur. It's going to take time for this all to come together. Now, I'm a military man, and I'm not a genius or anything. I'm not a general. I didn't go through the war college, but I've been through an academy. And I don't keep telling you that so you'll think, well, boy, he must think he's something. No, but they taught me about military movements and tactics. And I've watched all this, and then I was trained to be a synoptic analyst. And I said, okay, now I know we're going back to the Cold War. Now I know this guy that's over there. I told people he wasn't the Antichrist to start with. But I said, I know what's going to happen. And then I put out the thing and said that he was going to, that they would smash, and I even used the word smash, ISIS and all the other terror groups, there's some 7 other major ones over there, they would break them down to where they would not be nearly as powerful as they are. And when that happens, then the real Antichrist will arise in Syria, greater Syria. And when he arises, he will get Turkey to follow him, and Turkey will be perfectly willing, and he will get those other nations over there, the terror groups, he'll get them all over in greater Syria. And then after he's been in power and he has consolidated them and he knows he has the firepower to take Israel out, he'll take Israel out by driving them into the Negev. But they, Arabs, the ISIS, the PDQ, FOB, COD, and IOU, already know what's in that Negev. And so do I. And so does the National Security Agency. And I'll guarantee you, he's not going in there. And then recently, you know, we were told by God through Daniel, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. I don't want my knowledge. I don't want to lean on my understanding. I don't want to make a determination because I'm a synoptic analyst. No. I want to make a determination because when I see God's word, I'm also a born-again believer. I'm also a God-called preacher who fears the judgment seat. And I want to be able to put something down and tell you, this is what I think is going to happen. And when I do that, God gives me a good feeling. Okay, go ahead. You say, well, you shouldn't live on feelings. I live on the leadership of God's Spirit. I lean on it. And Leonard used that so much, lean on his own wisdom. Quite frankly, that's one of the reasons I lean on his wisdom. And yeah, I'm an analyst. Now, I've always leaned on his wisdom. I didn't want it my way. I wanted it his way. And that's the way to look at it. Satan will soon be cast out of heaven. I know that for a fact. I think I know when he'll be cast out. General time frame. Down to the earth and bring his woe. It says he's going to bring his woe to the earth. You can look over there in the 12th chapter of Revelation, and there it is. He's going to bring his woe of spiritual wickedness on its surface. But the wrath of God is the wrath of God. And that's Satan's woe. And you ain't seen nothing yet until God pours out his wrath on the lost down here. But he's not going to pour his wrath out on his people. And I think he warns Israel to run into their shelters and hide. He tells them that in the 26th chapter of Isaiah. It's very clear. Taught that for 40 years. And you say, well, you keep saying that. I want you to know that I know what I'm talking about. I make mistakes. But God doesn't. And some of these preachers make me look like I came out of heaven on a pile of Bibles compared to what they teach. And they're just wrong. And I'm a God-called preacher. And I have the Spirit of God living in me. And I don't want to see these people disregard what he says. But he didn't want them to disregard it more than I do. But he knows what they're going to do. But you go right ahead and you do what you're supposed to do. Boy, I've learned that since I've been here. And you just let God take care of all of it. And boy, he does. Now let's take a look at Ephesians 6:12. We ought to realize this, because it's been going on in our lives for a long time. God can't unsave you. I mean, the devil cannot unsave you. But he can stop you from giving glory to God if he leads you away from a church that teaches the truth. That's the truth. And boy, that's the only thing he's interested in. He can't unsave you. That word down there high is heavenly, ouroinos. And it means that this is talking about what we're wrestling against. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not worried about that flesh and blood army over there or that bunch of people that can kill me physically. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's the spiritual kingdom of Satan. Against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now, I know, well, if you want to know about demons and about things like that, talk to Chris. Chris was involved in police investigation, and he's seen the results of it, and he's seen what happens in these cults, and I guarantee you that a lot of those people are demon-possessed. But just talk to Chris about it. Talk to Leonard about it or Kenneth about it. They read about it. I read about it. Daniel 10:10-20. And behold, an hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. He was flat down on his face. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, and you will find in another place in this same general context where that's the archangel Gabriel. He's the messenger of the angels. He's the archangel of the messengers. And that little girl that followed Paul and Silas around, I will believe until I get to the judgment seat of Christ and I'm corrected, that that little girl was possessed by a fallen angel of Gabriel. And she was doing what she was created to do, but she was a fallen angel. So I believe that, but you don't have to. But I think we underestimate the power of the devil, but I think we underestimate the power of God more. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for there unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Well, I would have too. I'd have been scared to death. But Daniel was a much more spiritual man than I am. Then said he unto them, fear not, Daniel. He said, don't be afraid, Daniel. What did the Lord say? Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. Set thine heart to understand. Isn't that what these three preachers are here trying to do? Isn't that what the deacon is trying to do? And his wife's trying to do? Isn't that what you are trying to do? Isn't that why you came down here to this school? Isn't that why we had it? And what are you? What's Chris doing? He hadn't been a member very long. He wants to know more about it. Who in the world do you think made him do that? He wants to understand. He comes up to Leonard and I and tells us, you know, I sure appreciate that. And you know what? When I was a young Christian, I thanked everybody. But I still thank everybody. But when I was young, I was learning new things so fast, I couldn't learn it fast enough. Chris has got that same desire. You can see it in him. And did I mention you, Barbara? Oh, you need to get that picture off your wall. And don't ever jump on me for kidding again, because this is something I learned. You know what the word for beatitudes means? It means ecstatically happy. Did you know that the same word is used and transmitted and translated as, well, I'll let you, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to talk about that Monday morning. And it means something that floored me. And it works perfectly with what I've been talking about. It floored me. And there's no doubt in my mind. You say, are you trying to get us to come back? You all would come back if there was a tornado out there. So I'm not worried about losing you. But I do want some other people to know about it, because it thrilled me. And I had never looked the words up. I never discovered it was translated two different ways. Man, I was excited. And if you present that in your Sunday school lesson and go home and look it up, I will kill you. No, I can't. I can't kill you anymore. I'll just say, the Lord be with you, brother. I never know what you're going to do. Okay. He says, And to chasten, he said, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thy heart to understand. He wanted to understand things. Man alive, don't you think that makes God happy? I'm going to prove it makes him happy. And I'm going to prove. He approves of some of the stuff when I kid you, but he lets me know when he don't approve of it. And he smiles. He smiles. I know he smiles. When I discovered this, I said, he laughs too. You say, well, you don't know that. Well, it doesn't matter whether he does or not, but I think he does. And I think when he's happy, I think he laughs. You say, well, he's a spirit. Spirits don't laugh. How in the world do you know that? Well, how in the world do I know he does or doesn't? Well, I'm real anxious to find out, but I know he smiles. You say, you think about some stupid thing. The Bible says he's a man of sorrows. But it's what caused the sorrows that makes him sorrow. And things make him happy. I found the things that make him happy. And, you know, if you want to butter up your wife, you try to make her happy. Well, if you want to be his bride, you better butter him up some. He knows when you butter him up, but he still loves you anyway. And to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. You mean Daniel, who wrote the book of Daniel, was still chastising himself before God? Don't you ever do that? Don't you ever realize I'm a rat? Don't you ever realize I'm not what I should be? And Daniel just kept on chasing himself. Who do you think was raising him? God's not going to raise a child to be disobedient. And God doesn't want to raise you to be disobedient. He doesn't want to raise me to be disobedient. And I came for thy words. What words? Do you know when I read the 70th week of Daniel's prophecies? Do you know what that? Do you know why I know that is true? And what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? How many times have you heard me use that? How much more I needed to understand it? Well, he's ascended up into heaven. What am I? I'm a disciple. I'm a student of the Bible. You say, well, why are you? God made me one. And so I look at that and I think about it and I say, what and if the Son of Man ascendeth up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. My carnal man doesn't profit anything. And then he says, the words. The words. What is this book we call the Bible that I speak unto you? Are they not the living word of God? Is he not the word himself? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, put that together. What did he say to Thomas? Thomas said, we don't know where, how to get up there. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They didn't learn it until after he had already ascended into heaven and he just told them above it, don't worry. And he told and breathed the Holy Spirit on them. And then he kept it on them until he empowered the local church at Pentecost. And we're one of his local churches. Why won't he do that for us? He will. He will. And it's taken me a long time to learn that. But obedience is the key. Leonard preached hard on that for a long time. And still does. I love that. I got 3 minutes. He says, I came to understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. He said, this is going to last a long time. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. I guarantee you we would have too. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of man. Did he not call himself the Son of Man and the Son of David over and over and over again? Did the Son of Man not ascend? And was he not made God? And is he not real God, true God, one God, the only God? He says, and then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by thy vision my sorrows are turned upon me. Are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. What's a small child? What's the image of a small child? He knows he doesn't have any strength. But he believes his Father has all power in heaven and in earth. You say, that's too simple. No, the scriptures are simple. But unless God leads you, they're not simple. And unless you start, and when you start leading yourself, and you get all these cereal box sermons, and you get 3 points a poem, a cloud of dust, and high ho silver away. And I'm not ashamed to say it anymore. I used to be afraid God would punish me, but I knew it was the truth even then. For how can the servant of my Lord talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. I won't need to breathe in heaven. There shall he come again and touch me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved. Now somewhere in here, this may switch around. Notice, I drop down to verse 14. Daniel 10, 14. I don't know. It's interesting. He says, then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this thee, my Lord? Well, you know, sometimes I have to stop right in the middle of a prayer and I find myself instructing God. I don't mean to do that. God knows I don't. But then I apologize and say, I'm sorry. And I say, Lord, whatever you want. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to instruct you how to deal with me. But as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. He touched me. How about that song? He touched me. You ever just read? That's a beautiful song. I didn't know what it meant to touch me. He touched me this week. You say, oh, I didn't feel his hand on my shoulder. But somebody touched me. And it was him. I didn't see him. But he touched me. And I asked him, Lord, please don't let me ever forget this. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. You can't have any peace until you become a small child and just trust him. And know that you don't have any idea most of the time what you're doing. You just think you do. And you need to stand in his wisdom. And you need to let him decide everything. Be strong. Yea, be strong. When he had spoken to me, I was strengthened. He spoke to him. He brought a message to him. And said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then he said, Knowest thou not wherefore I come unto thee? Now, this is one of the reasons I think it was Gabriel, but I'm not going to argue with you on that point. I know one thing. He was speaking for God. And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And Gabriel couldn't whip him. But God could. And who created Gabriel? God. Who is he? The warrior God. Michael. He's the war, God of war. He's the war God. He's the fighter. He's the strongest of all the angels, including Satan, who created Gabriel. He was sent messages. You say, well, did God know what was going to happen, that he was going to overcome it? Why did he send him? Why did he just get... Because he didn't create Michael for that. Now, do you know why he turned to Peter and said, and what shall this man do? He'll tell you what they're going to do. But he does the telling. And I don't try to tell other men anymore what they should do. I preach the word of God, and they decide for themselves. And I decide for myself, and I want to decide like he decides. He said, and when I am gone forth, the prince of Persia shall come. Well, the rest of this you already know. And I may have the first part of this in a message on Sunday. So I've kept you over for 10 minutes. But I want you to look at it this way. You've suffered. The Lord said, blessed are you when men persecute you, including preachers, and say all manner of evil against you. For great is your reward in heaven. How about that? See y'all next week. I'll see y'all Sunday. I'll see you Saturday. You know, I don't.